Well, welcome to math class. You know, it's an amazing thing that the Bible, they say the Bible's not a history book, but it's accurate about history. The Bible's not a geography book, but it's accurate in regards to geography. It's not a science book, but it's accurate in regards to the scientific things that are mentioned in it. All of these kinds of things. And it's not a math book either. But where it mentions math, it's accurate. I've done some summing up of things, adding of some of the numbers in the Bible. You go back through there and you can calculate with the Bible's accuracy, you know, within a little bit of time, because it doesn't give, you know, days and months, but it'll give years of how long people lived and when the next generation was born and those kind of things. And you can calculate the age of the earth with that. You can calculate how long the children of Israel, you know, were in the Egyptian bondage and how long it was from the promise that was given to Abraham and on, and how long it was all these different times. You calculate those things up because when it comes to mathematical things that are mentioned in the Bible, it's accurate. Now, to some degree that is dependent upon the translation and how accurate the translation you have is. The Septuagint, for example, if you begin adding things up, you'll find that Methuselah lived 5 years after the flood and he wasn't on the boat. So sometimes the translation and the accuracy of that translation is pretty important. But we can trust that it is accurate in any area like that. Summing it all up, addition, adding things, it's the next logical step after counting. It's the way that we move as we move through mathematics. Most of us like adding better than subtracting because you have more at the end than at the beginning. We like adding things. Starts in lying about how old we are so that we can be pretend to be younger than we really are and all those kind of things. And then we start subtracting some of those years off. But adding is certainly a good thing. Adding's not so good sometimes when we're adding up our bills. We start adding those things up. We wish those numbers were a lot smaller. We wish we could subtract some of them instead of adding them. Or when we start adding up our troubles, we start focusing on that, and we start adding that up, we get to into all sorts of trouble. But when we add up the blessings that we have and things of that nature, it encourages us. So we're going to learn a little bit about what the Bible has to say about adding tonight. You probably didn't think that the Bible had anything much to say about adding. And it doesn't necessarily have a lot to say about it in the sense of truly the mathematical addition that children do in school. But we can learn some things. Let's learn that adding is something, first of all, that God sometimes does. Did you know God adds? Sure He does. We know that. He added to the church, didn't He? In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, verse 41, verse 47, also in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, let's look at it. Couple of those. Acts 2:41 says, "They that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 47 says, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So we know that that's how we become a member of the body of Christ, the church. We're added. We don't add ourselves. We don't join ourselves. The Lord does the adding. And He determines who is and who isn't. You know, sometimes, I remember watching Sierra a little bit after kindergarten on a few occasions. And she'd come and she had this mess. They had story problems in kindergarten. I thought I was about third or fourth grade before I started getting into story problems. But, you know, in a story problem, sometimes they'll have the little story you know, Bobby went to the store and he had $2 and he got a jug of milk that was $1.15, and you know they were written back in the 50s, and you know they got these amounts in there that, but you know, and he got a gumball that was 5 cents, and he got this, and if you add it all up, how much money did he have left at the end of this? You know how the story problems work. Well, sometimes they're tricky with those story problems, and they'll stick things in there, some numbers in there that don't belong. And you have to figure out, well, now that number doesn't have, you know, it may tell you, and he spent 27 minutes standing in the checkout line. And he said, now wait a minute, that doesn't have anything to do with how much money he spent. And so you have to throw that one out. Well, you know, God has to do that with those who claim to be Christians too. The Lord knows which ones are actually His and which ones actually belong and which ones don't. And He adds those who are right to His church, and He throws off the rest. And He knows the difference. And we can trust that when it comes to adding, the Lord will not make a mistake. He will not come up one short. You won't miss out because of an addition error that was made by God. On the other hand, you won't slip into heaven because He made an addition error in your favor. You know, the bank sometimes does that. Found the bank sometimes they make an error against you, and sometimes they make an error in your favor, you know. So, but God's not going to do that. He's not going to make any mistakes one way or another. He is going to add properly. Acts 5:14 says, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, both multitudes of both men and women. Acts 11:24 says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So you know, the Lord continued to pile up people to Him with toys. You know, they want a big pile of toys. Marbles, that was always the big thing. Who had the biggest and best marbles? And you always wanted to add more marbles to your collection and then, you know, not let the others have any good marbles. Let them have the broken ones or the chipped ones or the little plain ones. And you wanted the ones that were unique and different. Well, the Lord keeps adding. He wants everyone to be added to His church. He doesn't want just a few. Sometimes He has just a few, but He wants to keep adding to that. And so the Lord sometimes does some adding. He adds to the church. Also, we see, historically speaking, we understand that it's different now, but historically, He added teaching as it was needed. We see this in Luke chapter 19 and verse 11. As they heard these things, Jesus was speaking to them there, and it says, as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable. So Jesus got in the middle of His lesson, and all of a sudden in the middle of His lesson, He decided to add a parable in. You thought I got off chasing rabbits sometimes. Well, how about, he's going along through His lesson, they heard these things, and He knew what was going on in their heart, you know, what was going on in their mind. He knew what they were thinking, and He knew what was going on with them, and He said, I'm going to have to add a parable in here because they need it. It says He added a parable because He was nigh to Jerusalem and because He recognized that they were wrong about something. They had misunderstood something. So He stopped where He was and He said, okay, wait, they're misunderstanding this. I've got to add some teaching in here. Didn't compromise the teaching He'd already done. He just added in some additional teaching. In school, we might call that a little bit kind of like summer school, that you have to go back and go over the material again. We call it remedial, where you have to go over it again because you didn't get it right the first time. And sometimes that's the case, the way things work with God as well. In Jeremiah 36 and verse 32, Jeremiah had taken a roll or a scroll and had written what God wanted him to write on it. and had sent it to the king, and the king cut it up. The king couldn't, he didn't like it. He tore it up, threw it in the fire. And so Jeremiah got another one, and he got Baruch the scribe, who was working for him, to write down again what God told him. And so he wrote it down again. Wrote it all down. Everything that Jehoiakim had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So God said, okay, you're going to burn my book the first time? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to write every word of it again, and I'm going to add some to it. Don't think you can just ignore me. I'm going to add teaching when I need it added. And we see that from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, that the law of Moses was added because of the sin. And it was added until the seed, that of course being Jesus, should come to whom the promise was made. And so the law, and he goes on to explain that the law which was added that later on couldn't get rid of or annul or disqualify the promise that was made. The promise was still good. The law was just there temporarily. It was just added in there. Then we see also that sometimes God adds blessings. We've experienced that. Sometimes God adds blessings. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 tells us that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord it makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. You know how you can tell whether something that you've received is a blessing from the Lord or whether it's something else? You can tell by whether it comes with sorrow added to it or not. Because when the Lord blesses, He doesn't add sorrow to it. When the devil gives you something, He adds some sorrow and trouble in there with it. Now that's not to say that the Lord doesn't ever send trouble. He does. That's point number 4. Sometimes He adds troubles. But He doesn't mix the troubles with the blessings. The blessing is a blessing. The trouble is a trouble. He doesn't mix them up. He keeps them straight. Psalm 69 and verse 27, the psalmist says, add iniquity unto their iniquity, O Lord, and let them not come into thy righteousness. But Jeremiah 45 and verse 3, Jeremiah says of Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. And of course, we understand, having studied the Bible, studying Job and studying other things about those who were faithful as well as those who were wicked, like the children of Israel were from time to time, that there are different reasons for that trouble. Sometimes it's just to repent of sin. Sometimes it's a test to make us stronger. Sometimes, you know, there are a lot of different reasons for that trouble. But sometimes God adds troubles to us. But when He adds the blessings, He adds those blessings abundantly. And we see some of those blessings that He added. Joseph, when Rachel was barren, she hadn't been able to have a child, and then she was able to bear a child, and Joseph was born, and she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And then we see Hezekiah when he was about to die, and he had given up on life, but he begged God, please, not to let him die. Isaiah returned to give him the message, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. What a blessing. He got to live 15 more years. So sometimes God sends those blessings. Sometimes He adds that trouble. But we know that when the time is right, God adds the proper ingredient. You know, when you're baking or cooking or whatever you're fixing and preparing when it comes to food, sometimes there's a certain ingredient that has to be added at a certain time, or things don't work right. I can take something as simple as frying eggs. If you start frying your eggs, and you fry the egg first and then add the oil, you're going to be in trouble because the egg's going to be all stuck to the bottom of your pan. So you add the oil first and get it heated up and then put the eggs in there so they don't stick on the bottom of the pan. Of course, now they have those non-stick pans, so you know they say, oh, you don't have to grease them and all that. But we understand, you got to put things in the right order sometimes. God knows just the right ingredients to add and just the right amount. Because, oh, have you ever made the mistake in cooking of putting a tablespoon of salt instead of a teaspoon? Well, that's an unpleasant thing, especially if you're baking something that's supposed to be sweet, making a cake maybe, and you put in that big old salt in there, and oh, or cookies, and you put all that salt in, and you just have to throw them out because you put too much. Well, God doesn't make mistakes like that either. He adds just the right ingredient at just the right time and in just the right amount. God sometimes does some adding. But then secondly, when it comes to adding, let us learn that adding is something that we shouldn't always do. You know, there are some folks that think that it's just not right unless we're adding something. We've got to keep adding and keep adding and keep adding. I'm kind of that way with my stir fries when I'm cooking. Can y'all tell I'm hungry tonight? But when I'm cooking, I just keep adding more and more in there till the whole skillet's overflowing and there's not room to even stir it. So I say, oh, well, a little bit of that would be good, a little bit of that. And you add too much sometimes. Or sometimes you add the wrong thing because you keep adding and adding and you get some things that don't mix right. Well, we shouldn't always add. First of all, we shouldn't add to God's Word. The Bible is very clear about that throughout it. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. Bet you weren't expecting that verse. I try to find something new for y'all every once in a while. A verse that you're not used to. And I know you've heard Revelation 22:18. Don't add to the words of the prophecy of this book. And if men add to them, God will add the plagues. And I know you know Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word or diminish from. We know those. Proverbs 30 and verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You see, the writer of Proverbs tells us that adding something to God's Word is the equivalent of lying. You'll be found a liar if you add to His Word. That's a pretty serious charge. See, sometimes people think when they're doing all this adding to God's Word, they don't think it's a big deal. They think, well, I'm keeping God's Word, I'm just adding something else, you know, on there. It's kind of like, you know, if you go and to the restaurant and they give you what you ordered and then they give you some extra, you know. You order 10-piece chicken and you get 12 and you say, hey, that's good, they added extra in there. And sometimes people have that kind of thinking with God. Well, I did what He said, but I added some more to it. No. It doesn't work that way with God's Word. His Word is pure and perfect. And when we add to it, we mess it up. We make it something that it was not intended to be. There in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse number 5, He says just that. Every word of God is pure. Now you think about that. If it's pure and you add something to it, what has it become? Why, it's not pure anymore, is it? Let's say you've got some pure water. A bottle of pure water. And you add some Kool-Aid mix to that. Or you add a tea bag to that. Or you add some coffee to that. Why, you don't have pure water anymore, do you? You've got coffee or tea or Kool-Aid, which might still taste good. You might like that, but you don't have pure water anymore. And when we start adding to the pure Word of God, we corrupt it. Now, sometimes, well, I didn't add poison to the water. I made the water better because I can't stand just plain water. I want some flavor. And so they add, you see it, get it now, you get flavored bottled water. Well, it's not pure water anymore. It's flavored. It's changed. It's different. And the same thing applies to the truth. The Word of God is pure. It's truth. And when you change it or flavor it, even just a little bit, it's not the truth anymore. We need to understand that. So he says, every word of God is pure. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And that's what all of those who teach false teachings that have been added to God's word are going to be found on the last day. And it doesn't matter how small of an addition it is. So we shouldn't add to God's Word. Another thing that we should never add is we shouldn't add to cause suffering to others. We should never do anything that's going to cause suffering to others. Now, I want you to understand something. There is a difference between pain or hurt and in harm or suffering. There's a difference in the spiritual sense. And to illustrate that, I'm going to use Doc, because I know most of y'all have, if not been to him, you've been to another dentist, and you are very well aware of what happens when you go to the dentist. It hurts, doesn't it? When you've got a cavity and you go to the dentist hurts you. But now, wait a minute. Did he harm you? Did he damage you? Did he, ultimately, did he cause you suffering? No, you went to the dentist because you already had a problem. You already had that cavity. He didn't give you the cavity. He's trying to make it better, isn't he? He's trying to help you. Does it hurt sometimes when you get help? Sometimes. Did he harm you? No. He didn't harm you. He helped you. Now, on the other hand, how'd you get that cavity? Well, you got that cavity by eating sweets or something that you shouldn't have been eating, you know, sucking on candy and those kind of things, or by neglecting to brush your teeth and floss and take care of them, right? That's how that cavity got there. Now, when you were eating all that sweet stuff that got you the cavity, did that hurt? No, it didn't hurt. Boy, it tasted good, didn't it? But it caused you harm because it caused you to have a cavity. You see, we get confused sometimes because we think if something hurts, it must be bad. And if something doesn't hurt, it must be good. But the candy didn't hurt, but it was bad. It caused harm. The dentist hurt, but the dentist wasn't bad. The dentist was good. And we need to understand that spiritually speaking too. So when we say not to cause suffering to others, we mean not to cause harm. It doesn't mean that somebody's feelings won't be hurt when we tell them the truth, because sometimes they will be hurt. But it's our responsibility to do that, to warn them. So when I say not to cause suffering, we're talking about harm, real harm to others. Now here's some examples of that. Luke 3 and verse 20, we see that King Herod, above all the other things that he would do, he added yet this above all. He shut up John in prison. That's John the Baptizer. Shut him up in prison. Now that's doing harm to him. Here's a fellow who was out there preaching and teaching and telling people to get ready for the kingdom of God, and Herod locked him up in prison so that he couldn't do that anymore. That's harm. You look back to Solomon. And Solomon, he said, "Boy, let me tell you something. If my father," I say Solomon, Solomon, when he died and his son took over, they asked him, "Oh, your father, you know, his taxes were high and things were rough. We had to work so hard. You know, we were building the temple and we were building his house and it was a pretty tough time. Lighten up on us a little bit." And he said, "Let me tell you something. My father put a heavy yoke on you. I'll add to your yoke." When people are already suffering, I mean, they were at the breaking point. Don't add more onto them. Don't break them down. Somebody's exhausted from work and you come pile a little more on top of them. Give them a break. Let them have a little rest. And God, when he created the idea back in the old law of the Sabbath day, that after 6 days they labored, they get to rest a little bit. And we need to understand that too. After somebody's labored and they're tired, they need to rest. That can be too much for them and cause them harm. Well, we see also in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16 that there were some who actually preached about Christ. They preached Christ out of contention. They didn't do it sincerely, not sincerely. Supposing, in other words, what they thought was that by preaching Christ, they thought to add affliction to my, that's Paul's, bond. They thought if they preached Christ, then it would cause Paul to suffer worse in prison. Now that's mean. But you know what he said? "I'm just glad they're out there preaching Christ." Now he wouldn't have said that if they hadn't been preaching the truth. They apparently were preaching the truth about Christ, because he said if anyone brings any other gospel, let him be accursed. So but he said, "I rejoice that Christ is being preached." Even if the preacher was preaching it out of a wrong motive, yeah, that's right. Because you know what? There are going to be a lot of people in heaven that are going to be looking around to find the preacher who taught them, and they're not going to be able to find the preacher. The preacher didn't make it. Now, it's a very real possibility that someone preached the truth, but out of a wrong motive. But the people who heard the truth still obeyed the truth out of a sincere heart. They're going to make it to heaven, but the person that preached it out of the wrong motive is going to miss the boat. Is that something? So Paul said, "I'm glad they preached, but still, we would never want to do something to cause someone harm like that." But that's what these individuals wanted to do. They wanted to make Paul suffer in prison by their preaching. But he just rejoiced that more people were hearing about Jesus that way. Well, that's something. Then, of course, when it comes to adding, it's something that we shouldn't do when it comes to the area of sin. We should never add sin to our lives. I say, well, duh, everybody knows that. But, you know, sometimes we do. We commit. And then instead of confessing that sin and getting it off our chest, so to speak, getting it off of our soul, getting it off of our conscience, we cover it up or lie about it and add another sin to it. Y'all have never done that. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You've never done that, I'm sure. We do that. We do something we shouldn't, and then we cover it up. We hide it. We lie about it. We add sin to sin. See, the one sin was already there. Instead of getting rid of that sin, we put another one on top of it. Pretty soon we'll be buried neck deep in sins if we continue that kind of pattern. We know that David did that with Bathsheba, didn't he? He sinned. Well, he could have made it right, but instead he first tried to cover it up. That didn't work. He wound up murdering her husband. Horrible things occur. Deuteronomy 29:19 talks about those who add drunkenness to thirst. They're thirsty and they don't like being thirsty, so they go and get drunk. They add drunkenness to thirst. Isn't that something? It'd be better off to have been thirsty than to be drunk. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 13 talks about those who intend, listen to that, you intend to add more to your sins and to our sins and to our trespasses. Can you imagine that? To go with the intention of adding sin. Oof. Isaiah 30 and verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." So instead of coming back to me, they just go the other direction and keep adding sin to sin. 1 Samuel 12:19, the people did that when they realized, as if Samuel didn't warn them. Sometimes us human beings can be so thick. Samuel warned them about it. But then the people come and they say, "Oh, pray to God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sin this evil to ask us a king." Now, did they repent and say, "Okay, we don't want a king, we'll take the Lord back as our king"? No, they kept the king, but then they wanted just to be forgiven for it, but keep on the way. You know, kind of remind me of some folks that are living in adultery. They won't be forgiven for it, but they want to keep on living in adultery. You know, they kept the king. Keep on keeping the king, but just forgive us for having asking the king. And Job 34 and verse 37, of course, in this case, Job's friends were wrong about him. He said, "For he adds rebellion unto his sin. He claps his hand among us and multiplies his words against God." They were wrong about Job. Job wasn't doing anything wrong in that sense. But that idea, though, sometimes we do. We add rebellion. There are some other things just generally that we can't add, that we just can't do. Matthew 6:27 says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Can you think about it and get an inch taller? No. Can't do it. Galatians 2:6 tells us that, you know, when somebody's got everything they need, we don't need to add to it. Paul had received of the Lord everything that he needed to have, and he went up to Jerusalem, and he says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." In other words, he said, they didn't add anything to the gospel that I had when I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and James and the other apostles. He said, they didn't add anything to the gospel that I had received from Jesus. Well, of course not. When you've got the right thing, you don't need anything added to it. And then, of course, we can't add to a will, someone's will. Galatians 3:15, he says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or adds to it." So whenever there's a covenant between men, whether it's a will or whether it's an agreement of some kind, he says, it's the same way. Once you've got that covenant, that agreement, you've signed it, you're kind of stuck with that. You can't just go back and add anything you want to it. Some of these things, they go to court and they get the parties in there and they change the covenant, update it, and make a different agreement. But they have to throw that one out and rewrite another one. Can't just keep that one and add things to it as you go along. It doesn't work that way. Then we see, finally, that as we learn that adding is something we need to do to become more than we are now. There are some things that we need to add. We've seen that God adds things, and we've seen that there is some adding that we shouldn't do or can't do, but there is some adding that we need to do in order for us to be growing as a Christian, we need to be adding some things. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9 is probably the most commonly thought of passage when we think about adding. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." We've got to keep adding. We've got to keep growing, in other words. Now, what does that all add up to? Well, faith plus virtue plus knowledge plus temperance plus patience plus godliness plus brotherly kindness plus charity equals a faithful, fruitful Christian. That's what that's going to add up to. But if you start leaving them out, then guess what? You're going to be short of it. You're not going to be what you could have been and what you should have been. Our scripture that we have for the week is from Proverbs 16:23. "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." We need to add learning. That's part of that knowledge that we're adding. We're going to add those things. But then, of course, in this adding, we're adding the right things. If we're following God's will and continuing in this pattern that Peter describes for us in chapters 5 and following, then we're going to do this adding in order to become more than we are now and to reap benefits. We're going to reap some benefits of that. Proverbs 3 and verse 2 talks about how important it is to keep the law of the Lord, to keep His words. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Keeping God's Word, meditating on His Word, putting it to practice in our life is going to reap some benefits. It's going to add some things to our life. It's going to add days. It's going to add peace. Those things can be added to our life if we will keep God's Word instead of, and follow His will instead of our own will. If you're here tonight, perhaps you've been adding the wrong things. We need to be sure we're adding the right things in the right ways, at the right time, in the right amounts. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.